good people, another episode of Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast. And I am your host, Francesca Thompson, educator and founder of Thrive 12. In a time where we are facing a nationwide teacher shortage, I thought it would be great for us to get back to sharing stories about teachers. So each season, we will have some of our guests share about their favorite teacher. Teachers are dealing with many challenges in the classroom, so it is always good to hear stories on how they made a difference in the life of a student. This special guest is also my oldest child. Her name is Anexia Thompson. Anexia will be sharing her story of her favorite teacher or teachers, I don't know, on Everything But the Lesson Plan. So the first thing is, how is everything going in Florida, Anexia? Welcome.
Everything's good. It's a little rainy, but doing good.
Okay. Well, we'll be down there soon. That will be fun. The rain needs to go away.
Yes. Sure. Looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. First, tell us a little bit about you and what you do.
Well, currently I am a law student at FAMU in Orlando, and it's my first year, so I am just, my head's been in a book for the past 3 months as I prep for finals in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff that you just, like some of the stuff that you're reading, she actually shares with me, and I mean, it just seems like a lot. So you do that, law school girl. All right. So what were you like as a student, K through 12th grade? Do you remember that? How were you?
Yes, I made my own. I know you gave me a selection to choose from, but I did make my own. I'll share that one last because I was like three types of students. I still am learning. And it's crazy that this question is funny because from being out of school for like 3 or 4 years to now coming back into it, I see that some of those traits still haven't gone away. Mm-hmm. So I will say overall, I am the artsy type of student. I've mm-hmm. always been involved in some type of art, some type of expression. That's always just how I've lived, even outside of school. I love to have some form of expression. But then I also will say, reading these, I will say that I'm slightly, and this is 10% you, because you quote yourself as the go-getter, but I'm like 10% go-getter. Mm-hmm. And I'm realizing that now in college that I didn't realize that I was when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I didn't realize this is because of the student that I made up for myself.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So one of the qualities that I think I am that's not on the list is an onion student, okay?
Onion?
Yes.
Okay.
So if you remember the movie Blindside, they talked about something about how some people are like onions in the world. Mm-hmm. And I am an onion where I start off, I have so many like layers within myself where I'm kind of like shelled or barred off. Mm-hmm. But then the more that I peel off, or the more that I become comfortable with a person or the teacher, then the more that I'm willing to express myself.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Now and I guess I'm the opposite of that. I think I used to be like that. I would probably say I was that at one point. And then now that I'm back in school, I just don't even care. I know my professor be like, matter of fact, the last time I posted something, he just completely did not like it. And he was like, we gonna have to agree to disagree. Old friend would have been like, oh my God, let me think out. Maybe I shouldn't post this. But now I just be like saying whatever. So I get it. So you carefully read the room and see yes. who your people are.
Yes.
And trying to figure out, I don't know about this situation, or I like that person, or that person may see
right.
someone I can have in my group, and I really don't like that person over there.
Right.
I get it. So in school, you were an onion person as well. Your K through 12th grade, you feel like you were that person as well?
I definitely was. If it wasn't something or a subject that I felt confident in, which is mostly music, I was definitely reserved and watching until I felt comfortable enough to express myself.
Okay. But you feel like now you're changing a little bit that perspective?
Yes. I will say I am not as, I still am an onion, but the layers peel way quicker than what they used to.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's good to know. So, what were some of your favorite hobbies and organizations or whatever it was that you did as a student that shaped your student experience? You said you were arts.
Yeah, I was really big in chorus, as you know, because you took me to all my practices and concerts and rehearsals.
Yeah.
So that was definitely my biggest interest. I was also big on I don't know if this, well, this wasn't a club, but like we were big as a family as just getting out of the house and going to different parks. So yeah. I'm really big on exploring nature.
Yeah.
And I love to read. Mm-hmm. I didn't find that habit or hobby until college though.
Okay.
And
what sparked that in college?
You have a lot of downtime. I mean, I had a lot of downtime, especially towards like the end of my years. I was able to, I guess, not have downtime, but I was able to find more of a balance in my schedule that allowed me to have more free time to be able to find things that I liked. And so I took that opportunity to do a lot of things. And one of those was reading.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Reading is always good. I'm trying to get Alyssa to read a little more.
It's going to take some time. I remember being forced as a child to...
We forced you as a child to read?
Yeah. I had to read a couple pages before I could go to bed. Yes. I think that's what made me not want to read. But then, like, growing up, I'm like, oh, wow, this book is actually nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So we know a little bit about you and who you were as a student. What are some of your interests? And hobbies and different organizations and things that you like to do that you felt like shaped your student experience. So now we want to get to the big reveal of who was it, either is a teacher or multiple teachers. Your aunt who we did, I guess,
yes.
First season, I told her teacher, and she's the reason why I've had to change it because she came in with all several teachers. So I was like, you done messed up the whole podcast. I told you a teacher. Now you naming out five people. Now I've got to make sure everybody has the opportunity if they want to.
Right.
Which is good if we're going to highlight, you know, several teachers. I'm sure they would love that. But so who is your favorite teacher?
Okay, you already know the answer to this one. Mm-hmm. My favorite teacher is Miss Green, my chorus teacher from literally all of my high school career. Mm-hmm. That's where I was my true self in the whole hour that I was in that class. And she just allowed all of us to be able to express who we are, what we wanted to do, who we wanted to be within that hour. When once we walked in that door, we were who we truly wanted to be. And then whenever we left, you know, we were whoever we were whenever we walked in. But we were able to really just enjoy the moment. And especially for me, because I really love music. And so I was able to just enjoy being creative.
So when you first met her, which would have been your ninth grade year, I don't know if you remember walking into her class. When did you know, oh, I like her? When was that like, okay, she's going to be someone who's going to be a cool teacher? Do you remember that moment?
Yeah, because it was one of the few moments. I don't know if it's the first moment, but I knew it was one of the initial moments, was when she acknowledged me personally and my creativeness in that classroom. And I was like, wow, like, not saying that my prior, you know, course teacher in middle school didn't do that. But the way that she made me feel comfortable and able to just be me without permission from anyone else, or without, you know, just the negative take that we have on our own selves. I was like, wow, I actually am somebody in this class. So it definitely helped.
Especially at Chorus, that's typically a huge class, right?
It is a very big class.
It's like sometimes I feel like students can get lost in that and will never
be
recognized. And so she must have had a way to kind of balance that out and get to know all of her students.
She did. She did. She had different activities. Like every Friday, I remember, was like fun Friday. So we didn't do any work. But if you had like a talent or something that you wanted to express or share with the class, that was your day to do it. And so a lot of people not only sang, but some people danced or shared their poems or just shared a book that they may have read. It was just your time to share who you were.
Okay. And so that's how she kind of made it different. She allowed you guys to express yourself. And I bet you that was fun for you all, because everybody wanted to really show off who they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you typically do? Sing or play?
Yeah. I always sang. Okay. I always sang.
Yeah. That's good. And so, when you think about, I think you talked about a little bit about the learning environment she created for you and other teachers. It was more, I guess, of a creative learning environment.
Yes.
Do you remember any other activities or things that she did to make the classroom experience better? I know y'all went on field trips.
Oh, yeah. We did do a lot of that. That was the majority. I only went on like field trips because of that class. We went to New York. We went to Florida 3 times to go to Disney to sing or to create a CD singing one of the songs from Lion King. We were able to go to that studio and see what the production was like. It was just a lot. She definitely outdid herself with that, because I do know a lot of schools do go on field trips, but I'm not sure how far they do or what extent. So it was nice to be able to do things like that.
Yeah, she wanted you guys to really get an experience of what you were learning in the classroom. And I think that's important for teachers to know and understand. It's not about what you're, let me see how I can say this. What you're teaching is very important, but if you can do some outside connections and bring that, either, you know, take your students to experience some of the stuff that you're teaching, or even now we have so many options. You can do virtual experiences. You don't have to go as far as Florida. You can do local things. I think it's important. I advocate for teachers to always have those field, we used to call them field trips, but now we call them field experiences, ready for your students.
Yeah.
So one of my last questions is going to be, if you had advice for a new teacher, what would it be?
This one was a tough question for me, because I don't know. I guess my advice to a new teacher would be, based off what we've been talking about, is to allow your student to express who they are. And even if you may not understand it, your allowance is allowing them to be more comfortable with you and want to come to you and learn and be in the environment that you have. So I would just say be willing to be open-minded about other mindsets.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one for sure. Be open-minded. So, well, that was it. Anything else you want to share? I think you did a pretty good job here.
Yes. Another one of my favorite teachers is my mother.
Oh my God.
Oh girl. I came off the bus and I got taught right again when I got home. Teaching does not stop for her, okay? It's 24/7.
But all got that, off the bus and had a whole nother experience.
Look, I'll never forget the day you started this new thing where you wanted us to, as soon as we got home, you would have like some type of history article and you read the history article to us. That helped me because I did not know that I had a quiz the next day and that was on the quiz.
Oh, really? You know, I do. I started to do that with Alyssa, but now that you said that, I gotta that back. I stopped.
Oh, now I'm so sorry. I'm gonna have to call her after this. I did not mean to traumatize her. I just wanted to give a compliment.
Kudos to you all. So I always get an article. I even tell her to find an article that we can read together. But we haven't done it in months because she's But that's good. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the teaching did not stop.
It didn't. It won't. Even when you all have children, we'll just.
Yeah, I'm definitely sending them to you.
They're going to be taught a few
things. If that's one thing it is, they will definitely learn.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story. Hopefully this will inspire our new teachers or our veteran teachers. This episode is really about telling a story, and stories are good to help connect people. We don't know who is going to listen to this one day, but hopefully they can connect with something you said. Thank you for taking your time out to share. And that is all we have for today. Please do not forget to answer our poll questions, like and vote and share. And one thing I need everyone, all my educators, to keep doing, keep thriving. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.